Reading. Over the next 3 years, Dr. R did just that. He traveled to see his friends all over the country. He spent time with his children. He had special trips with his wife, and he kept teaching and supporting his medical students. He developed new programs to allow his students to work more closely with rural physicians, supporting their research and helping them with their career decisions. He saw me at least every 3 months. We would get scans to see if his symptoms worsened, but we tried to focus on living. His scans were stable for the first 2 years, showing no growth. He needed to switch medications, and the new medicine brought him severe side effects. His hands and feet became so sensitive that he couldn't walk or hold things. The dose was lowered, which helped some. He was switched again to another drug, an experimental drug then, which caused him to develop diabetes. In late November, Dr. R had worsening abdominal pain. He thought that the end was near. I reminded him that he had thought so 3 years ago, and he had done surprisingly well. He reminded me that we had traveled a long road together since then. He was now on his second experimental drug. A CT scan showed a marked increase in the tumor all over his abdomen. He wanted to talk to his family and then plan for the end of his life. I saw him 2 weeks later. He felt that it would probably be the last time we saw each other. He had some pain that was worsening, but otherwise seemed stable. I started him on a little bit of morphine for his pain. He thanked me for being his doctor and his friend. I told him he had always been a healer for me and that I felt better whenever I saw him. He mentioned a book of patient stories that he had contributed a story to. His wife told me she would send me a copy of the book. I told him I liked writing about my patients and I would send him my patient stories. He said he couldn't wait to read them. I scheduled him to see me in 3 weeks, gave him a big hug, and said goodbye. The next day I emailed him the patient stories. 2 days later, I was contacted by the hospice nurse who was involved in his care. She said he had become incoherent and was now in a coma. A day later, he was gone. He knew it. He had told me it was the last time I would see him. I reflected on our last conversation about the patient stories. I wished I had shared them with him before. Then he could have read them. We could have laughed and cried about the stories together. I wish I had heard all the patient stories he had, which had touched his heart. A month after Dr. R passed away, I received a wrapped package from his wife. I opened it, and it was the book she had promised, the book of patient stories, including the story he had contributed. In the front of the book was a note to me from Dr. R. "Dear Doug, we enjoyed reading your stories. And of course, being one of your art gallery of challenging patients, I don't have to tell you what a good doctor you are. But I learned early on, if I wanted any of my students to go into family medicine, I had to keep them away from you. You, alas, taught me that a doctor's heart was more important than a stethoscope. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Dr. R." A warm feeling spread through my body. Dr. R had spoken to me before he died. He had received my stories and read them before he died, and he had shared a story of his own. What he had really done, though, was share his life story with me. A card from Mrs. R was included with the book. "Dear Doug, we were recipients of your compassion and smarts. Our journey was affected by your compassionate care. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Mrs. R." What other career has this depth, this connection? The honor of making a difference is not just for our patients, but their families, and most importantly, the opportunity for them to help heal us, to help be our teachers in what matters in life.